At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
To Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Spencer wants to talk about the Astros, so we continue that conversation. Hey, Spencer.
Hey, fellas. So, going into last season, it's pretty remarkable with hindsight that the Astros had 106 wins. Going into last year, you had Verlander hadn't pitched in two seasons. McCullers was unknown and hurt, and who knows when he's going to come back with a bunch of, question marks. And I don't think Dusty and the rest of the staff got nearly enough credit for the way he managed the entire staff, rotation, bullpen, everything from top to bottom. Because after 162 games, everybody was still fresh. It was truly remarkable. And I know that Verlander whined about it, half jokingly, halfway through the season about a six-man rotation. But everybody was still fresh in the bullpen. I haven't looked at the schedule, so I don't know how many off days there are. It seems like Major League Baseball does this month. But I would assume that Brown's going to. But then as the season progresses, they'll just drop back into a six-man like they did last year. And but at the end of the day, I trust Dusty Baker more than any manager I've ever seen. And when he was hired, I was terrified of him because of Pryor and Wood and all that stuff. But he's been phenomenal. And so I trust Dusty to handle the staff however he sees fit, and it'll be all good. All right, thanks.
Yep. I've changed my tune on Dusty, too. I remember when I was in Chicago and for the White Sox series 2 years ago, not this past season, but the year before, and the people there, the guys at the radio station there, the ESPN station there, were like, "How are you liking Dusty? He's the worst." They hated him when he was with the Cubs for how he handled the staff, for the decisions he made. I mean, we've had plenty of Dusty criticism about the way, how he handled Mancini right after the trade turned out to,
look at that.
Yeah. All kinds of different stuff that we've, a manager's got to make 1,000 decisions a game, so not everybody's going to agree with all of them. But you're right, Dusty has been fantastic, and I wouldn't doubt it for a minute now. Now, with Verlander coming off the Tommy John, with McCullers not being, having all of the injuries that he's had, and Verlander is the one who was, jokingly complaining about it. He should have been the one that was lauding it because, he's the one that tires down in the postseason. And by the way, he got tired again in the postseason. A first game against Seattle, terrible. First game against the Phillies, terrible. So, he's the one that should have been thrilled with throwing less so that he could be stronger at the end. And then he threw a great one against the Phillies later. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't go to the – I think the six – back in the 70s, if anybody told you that they were going to go to a five-man rotation, they would have laughed at you. Now, I wouldn't be surprised at all, if a bunch of teams don't go to a six-man rotation because it's just less in wear and tear. We see so many injuries, so many elbows injuries, so many pitchers breaking down because of their overuse. I'm telling you, it's a thing of the future. It is going to happen in Major League Baseball, that six-man rotation. If you'd said that there would be four complete games by everybody in all of baseball. 30 years ago, everybody would have just been like, whatever, because that's all you did. But you don't do that anymore. You just don't. You adapt. And I think that a bunch of teams are going to adapt, and one of the things is going to be a six-man rotation in the future.
Spencer was a daily critic of Dusty Baker, just talking about how the tables were turned.
Yeah.
He would call in.
Dusty, every day.
Dusty screwed this up. Dusty screwed this up. And... which leads me to this upcoming year. I was joking about how we shouldn't care about the – actually, I wasn't joking. We shouldn't care about the Astros until, like, July. But will every day be a day – if Dusty doesn't get something right, will we have a daily criticism of Dusty Baker now that he has rubber-stamped his career with the World Series and how well he managed the team? Are we going to back off Dusty? Or because it's baseball, we have to criticize the manager for his day-to-day decisions?
He definitely will be criticized. Are you kidding?
Well, all right. Let's do that again.
No, absolutely he'll be criticized. And then people will come in and go, how many World Series have you won?
Well, that's right? What you will do. That's what you like to do.
They'll
throw that back in your face if you're the one
until
criticizing
them.
Yeah.
Until I get mad at him.
Yeah, I mean, then you'll say, well, he's only won one. He should have had like three.
That's
if he was better at his job, he would have three. That's your response to everything.
Yeah, he could. That's right. How many do you have, Dell?
I'm not going to criticize Dusty. I don't have any.
You don't have any.
But I won't criticize. You don't have any either, but you will.
Yeah, I listen, but I like baseball. You don't, so I get to do it.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I just feel like Dusty maybe has earned a little leeway that maybe we don't crush him if something doesn't work out in the middle of June, considering what he pulled off last year, and if they're still on that pace to win another division and head right into the playoffs again. Maybe we calm down. Dusty, you're old. Okay, we get it. You screwed up that one time, but hey, you won a World Series.
I guess Paw now.
I imagine he won't get that leeway if they're on like a 2-game losing streak.
You think they're going to lose 2 games in a row? That's
possible. I'm not saying – I'm not predicting it. I wouldn't bet money on it, but it's possible.
That's stupid. Okay. That's the dumbest thing you've ever said. Ooh, 2 games.
Just wait. If they lose the opening series, they're going to – you guys are going to kill Dusty.
God.
And I'm going to be
what are we doing?
If he leaves Ryan Pressly in for too long, whatever it is, whatever bullpen decision, you know, that great bullpen you just talked about, they screw up in the opening series. What is Dusty doing? We 1 year too many – can't wait. Actually, I can't wait.
No.
I can't
wait. Here's the deal. Why did you let Verlander walk, cheap-ass Crane?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. We know it's coming. No, who cares what happened? And who cares about his track record of letting players go and that working out? If
that
you start off 1-4 to open up the year, it's over.
Is Hunter Brown this year's Jeremy Pena?
Well, we know what he won't be Jeremy Pena because people will be crushing Dusty for not having him in the rotation the minute Urquidy struggles. We all know what's going to happen.
Unless he gets in there.
Well, yeah, if he just blows everyone away in spring training. But we know if Urquidy doesn't get off to a great start, whoever you consider the fifth starter doesn't get off to a great start, Hunter Brown just sitting there, Dusty's going to get killed for that too.
Oh, Jose Odorizzi? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not putting Odorizzi on any Astro pitcher. They have too many pelts on the wall, the current ones, for that.
Oh.
But I'm just saying.
That's another guy the Rangers signed. That's why they're great.
Well, yeah. Well, that worked out for the one Texas team. Let's see the other Texas team do it.
So the original number three that does the heart sign, hand heart thing, the original, not this one, the original, Jeremy Pena, he was asked this week about last year. He ain't about that life.
I mean, the goal is to, you know, the years in the past. You know, the goal is to turn the page, and you know, there was a lot of work to be done. You know, I feel good physically, mentally. We have a great team. And we all know what has to get done going into spring, so we're all getting ready for the season coming up.
You accomplished so much last year. How has your life changed? Whether you like it or not, how has it changed from 1 year to another?
I feel the same. Yeah, I feel the same. I feel like my parents call me real less now. It's a good time. It's a good time. It's just, I feel the same.
I wish you would have said, Man, the hoes won't stop calling me.
Man.
He could have said something like that, but you know.
Get these hoes off me.
All these, man, these players ain't about it. Say something. I mean, that guy's looking for a quote. I don't know who asked, but he's looking for a quote. If he would have said, they won't stop calling me, man.
Hey,
that would have been something. But you go, no, I feel the same. What? You're a World Series champion. World Series MVP, if I recall.
Can you get these out of my DMs?
Nothing. Nothing has changed. Come on.
Come on, Jeremy. I mean, you got a salsa commercial. You got marriage proposals, MVPs now. Come on, Jeremy.
I feel the same.
Give us something.
That's a lie.
Tell us a little something.
First of all, I never would call Jeremy Pena a liar because I don't know him, but that's a lie. Nothing. You feel the same. Man got a World Series MVP in his rookie year, and he feels the same. Man, you better get out of
here. Come on, bro.
That's a lie. Give that's a flat-out lie.
Give us to those of us that don't get all that.
All that. Okay, John. Even if we're going to remove my joke from the equation about they won't stop calling him, the man, he's a World Series MVP in his rookie year, and he feels the same? Stop it. Don't lie to me.
He ain't lying. He wants to feel the same. You know what? He's humble, and he wants to just be the same guy, okay?
But
and you're calling him a liar.
It's impossible to feel the same. You came in as a rookie trying to replace Carlos Correa, all the stuff that comes with that. You leave the season as the World Series MVP, and you feel the same? Man, out here lying to everyone's face.
I just
wanted
to hear stories about stuff.
There you know, he ain't going to tell no stories. He's a baseball player. They don't do that stuff. They don't tell stories, I mean.
They ain't telling no
stories. They don't tell stories. Terrible. We need him to have the personality of Eli Apple. Eli Apple would tell a story.
Every time he comes up, my wife, oh, is he a cutie?
Well,
oh, my goodness. He is adorable.
I mean, he was, quote, unquote, a cutie before the World Series stuff.
Yeah,
but still. Before,
now?
But, I mean.
No, now he's a heartthrob.
I would just like
World Series got him. Yeah.
World Series MVP and a liar. That's what we found out.
Listen, I ain't lying to you about Artisan Grange. I ain't lying to you about dip. I ain't lying to you about the effects of you dipping with the long cut or the short cut. I don't know what they're called. I have no idea. I never dip. Don't dip. I don't like to dip. I say I never dipped. I've tried Artisan Grange. I've tried the Canstead and the Dew Blend. And you know what? You know why? Because I had no fear of it. That I love the taste of it, too. I tried the tobacco. I tried the citrus. I tried the berry. They're really, really good. I mean, you get that flavor. Plus, you get CBD in it. Plus, you don't have any tobacco. Nicotine-free. You don't have to, I don't think, you know. Listen, the worry that you're going to have when you put that dip in every day, day after day after day after day in the same spot. Man, dude, you are taking a chance there. How about try this? Try hemp in a pouch made of hemp with CBD oil in it with the same flavors that you're used to. What do you like? Do you like wintergreen? Do you like dark fire? Do you like mint? Do you like straight? Do you like tobacco, citrus, ice mint? They got all the flavors you could possibly want. Berry, dark mint, whatever it is that you like that flavor, you got it. It's all in a can, but you're going to get five cans, and they've got a bunch of pouches in there. You're going to turn over. I'm telling. If you're looking for a great way to switch over, get out of that tobacco, nicotine, go to 975dip.com, 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, no Lance today. Dell in for him. Hopefully Lance gets better. He had a bronchitis issue, so hopefully he is going to get better and be back tomorrow. We shall see. Dell with us.
I really hope that gets figured out mid-afternoon. So I don't have to be treated like an on-call doctor again. Like, well, we're not sure. Well, just be ready to come in. Hopefully that gets figured out early. Like, Lance knows one way or the other. I ain't about this life. Setting an alarm for a potential reason or maybe not. Man, figure it out, yeah. Lance. Hey, Dr. Muntz, figure it out.
just say, hey, I want hazardous pay as well, Todd. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
okay.
Happening. I would just like Lance to either feel well enough to know he's coming in by about mid-afternoon or not.
That's all.
That's all I'm looking for.
Give us,
so I can
give
plan my night.
A little leeway.
And then John can know who he's going to talk to. He can go,
I don't care about that.
So you can figure out if he's going to have to say, hey, Lance, what are you in News of the Weird? Or he has to transition to, hey, Dell. He's got to figure that out.
Dell.
See, Dell or Lance, that's a difficult thing to kind of figure out. So I hope John knows as well.
I'm a pro. I can go. You know what? I can switch it.
I hope you have some good stories. I don't need anything basic. I need like a sex doll or a woman falling in love with a car. Let's come with the good stuff.
Yeah, I'll save it for you.
All right, let's see.
I got good stuff for you. Are you okay with Maya Rudolph replacing the M&M mascots?
Ooh, why are M&M's a story? Look, I know why this has come about. I don't care. I don't even want to engage in this conversation about the M&M being woke or too sexy. It does not matter to me. Putting legs on an M&M doesn't change whether I'm going to eat them or not. It doesn't really. I mean, M&Ms are great candy. I mean, I don't really eat candy like that anymore, so it doesn't. So I'm not running to the store. Who's that marketing plan for, kids? Is anyone affected by the M&Ms and what they wear, or even the fact that they talk? Does that drive anyone to get M&Ms?
So I mean, there really were controversies about these M&Ms. They introduced purple M&Ms that was voiced by a black lady sketch show.
Okay.
Vet Amber Ruffin, the first ever female peanut M&M.
Okay.
As well as changing the designs of the green and brown M&Ms to give them more casual clothing, swapping out their heels for sneakers. I mean, this is really
They're putting it like in the same line, the first ever female M&M. Is it like the first black president? Is that the level that we're holding the M&Ms to? What? Or the first black head coach to win a Super Bowl? Diversity in M&Ms is supposed to mean anything to anyone? A candy? Am I supposed to care?
Well, Tucker Carlson did.
Well.
He said on the air he no longer found the M&M, the brown M&M, sexy following the redesign of the character voiced by Vanessa Williams. I would find anything that Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, but doesn't it say more about the individual that he found the candy, a cartoon candy, sexy? Shouldn't we be focusing on Tucker Carlson's proclivities, not the candy?
Don't you find Lois Griffin sexy?
I don't find any cartoon sexy.
You're not an anime guy.
No, I don't watch anime. And if I did, I wouldn't watch it. I know what it is.
Porn search.
No. There are real ladies I can watch do that stuff if I want to. Why would I watch a cartoon lady do that? Who am I, Fred Fowler?
Well, what do you think about Maya Rudolph? Are you excited?
Because of what? She's the voice of an M&M?
Yeah.
No.
No, she's not the voice of an M&M. They're not using the M&Ms anymore.
Oh, to avoid the
they're
stupid
out.
Controversy?
Yeah, they're out. They're totally out.
John, I'm not excited about any spokesperson. Name a spokesperson doing something and see if they help get me to buy a product. And the answer will be no on every occasion.
If he was a spokesperson
for what?
For, let's say, type of bra. Do you think that women would buy that type of bra?
Well,
yes,
I'm sure. They're
Jeremy Payne. You told us
not all women, but some would easily.
Oh my goodness, is it snowing here, dude?
Well, we're supposed
Holy
to get
crap,
bad
I hope
weather
my
here.
Plane.
Apparently,
huh?
We're going to get bad weather here too, like potential power outages again.
Oh my goodness!
Well, you might not be able today. To make it back.
I might not get home today.
Well, you wouldn't be flying into great weather either way. I mean,
somebody's asking, do you think George Santos was sexy when he was wearing women's clothes?
No, he wasn't a good looking woman.
What is this whole George Santos thing, by the way?
He lied.
I'm so uninterested in
that. Yeah, I don't care about it either. It's just a story because what else to talk about? The M&Ms, George Santos, don't care. It's a candy. It's a chocolate. I don't think much about M&Ms. Sometimes I buy them, sometimes I don't.
I like Maya Rudolph. She's funny.
She's fine, but she's not going to get me to buy M&Ms. I know what they taste like. Why do I need – Maya Rudolph's not going to do anything to make M&Ms better. They've been the same for years. It's the same formula.
Freak out about this stuff.
Who cares? Look, people are losers.
I mean, honestly, people were freaked out. I mean, even Tucker Carlson is talking about it because M&Ms got woke, right?
I don't care if M&Ms were the wokest thing possible. Unless they change what they taste like, it's not going to matter. You either like M&Ms for what they taste like or don't.
Well, that's right. Chick-fil-A? Do you agree with Chick-fil-A's politics?
Yeah, but the sandwich is really good, so I go there. I've made that pretty clear. I'm not all that thrilled about what Chick-fil-A has done in the past, but hey, make a good chicken sandwich. I
mean, chicken sandwich is good.
Now, if that chicken sandwich tasted a little different, then maybe I'd be after Chick-fil-A, but until that spicy chicken sandwich changes.
Then you just wouldn't go to Chick-fil-A because the chicken sandwich wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be that upset. I'd just go someplace else. Yeah. Look, food is one thing where I don't care what is surrounding it, really. If it tastes like garbage, I'm not going to eat it, no matter who you put in front of me to sell it. And if it tastes great, you can say almost anything.
Right.
And I'd still go. I don't have any.
Who cares?
I don't care. Does it affect the taste of the sandwich?
You still go get Papa John's, right?
No, I don't. That is a trash pizza. I Papa John's, for me, I had to do things to make that edible. Could you make it light sauce and throw it in the oven extra just so I can eat it?
Why even do all that?
Just go someplace else.
Right.
I used to do that because, you know, it was one of the only places in the area until, you know, you get a more refined palate. And you go, I'll just go get pizza someplace else. Why am I having to trick myself into eating Papa John's?
And having to get all this ranch dressing.
Well, I don't put ranch on pizza.
If you have to.
Yeah, look, I worked at a restaurant double days. It was a sit-down restaurant when I was a kid. Delivery drivers, you deliver pizzas, and you also clean the tables and wash the dishes. And everyone would dump ranch dressing on the plate. It would get under your fingers when you're washing them. I'm off ranch. Never had ranch again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had to put it on. Double days is where I think I started putting ranch.
Well, there
it is.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You're one of those people. I hate it because they would have a plate. Double days had a pizza buffet. So one plate was full of pizza for people. The other plate was full of ranch. And they would just take the pizza from one plate and dip it in the ranch. It was a misery. But it was a college job. You got to get through it.
I mean, it is snowing bad here. I want to see if my flight is still on time. Gosh, dog it. I'm not coming home. I won't be there.
I'm not coming home. He's not coming home. Tell the world John's not coming home.
It says on time. We'll see.
We'll see.
I'll go to the airport, and I'll be there sitting in the airport all day.
Matt Lanza was talking about Houston weather tonight. Have your phone charged fully by late a.m. in case you lose power. Have at least two ways to receive weather warnings. Follow trusted local sources through the day. Have a plan should a warning be issued. So we're in for it, too.
How about that?
So, awesome. Like I said before, you even if you got through Oklahoma City, I'm not sure you'd be flying back to much better circumstances.
No, but I don't even know if I'll get to the airport in this. Okay. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here with us. You got one segment to go. I got to talk about, listen, get your hoops go. Get it on now. You might lose power, so hurry up and call or go to your website. Go to the website right now, produnkhoops.com. The hoops goal is the Pro Dunk Hoop is the best goal that there is. It's not even arguable. The tempered glass backboard. Mom will love it because it looks great. There are so many baskets that actually bring down the curb appeal of the house because, wow, the bent rim, the white that needs painting. Don't staple a backboard to your garage. That's the worst idea. It never, ever, ever works out. Get the best goal. Oh, don't go to a box store and pick up one of those that you put sand in the bottom. That thing is all creaky, going back and forth, wobbling. It's terrible, terrible. Get the greatest insulation. Get the greatest goal. It looks wonderful. Mom will love it. The kids will love it because you can go up and down and they can dunk that. You'll love it because it looks great. It adds to your home, and the kids are outside. Everything about it is perfect. You'll know where your kids are because they'll be in the driveway playing basketball. Lower that goal so that the kids can actually enjoy it. You're going to love it because, well, The safety of knowing where your kids are, that they're outside and not sitting inside, playing video games, that they're outside exercising, everything. It can't be better. It's all at one place. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Anything? Here's stuff that we missed, Dell. The Cougs fall to number 3 in the rankings. Purdue, number 1. And the Cougs fall to number 3. Rightfully so. You can't lose to Temple at home and expect it. And especially, man, their free throw shooting. Goodness gracious. They're like 200th in college basketball in free throw percentage.
That doesn't 70%. Seem like something that'll come up in the tournament at any point.
It absolutely will. I mean, if I'm with another team, I'm like, let's put them on the line. Let's put them on the line and make sure that they have to go and shoot free throws because they're just not good at it. That's disturbing just a little bit.
How about Kansas? Is that their third conference loss in a row? They lost to Baylor last night. They lost to TCU. They got blown out by TCU at home, and then they lost to K-State the game before. That's 3 in a row for Kansas. Opens up the Big 12 race.
And they were, thought to be – Kentucky was thought to be the bad K team, and now Kansas is joining them. What do you think about – RJ – what about Hachimura coming to the Lakers?
Well, for a guy that the Wizards are obviously punting on being the 9th pick in the NBA draft just a couple of years ago, and you had comps comparable to, Antoine Jameson. I believe one person said if his body were to even out, you could see maybe flashes of a young Kawhi. But this is a guy where in the NBA where you need wings, and the Lakers have really been – depleted of wing play. They're also very small with a lot of guards. You get a guy who's a decent three-point shooter and can also play a big lineup with Anthony Davis and LeBron James as your 3, 4, and 5. So overall, I like the trade. I think the Lakers are probably going to do one more trade before the deadline, but I'll give it what ESPN gave it. I'll give it a C. I don't know if you want to give them an extension like they're saying they want to do, though.
Listen, I guess they just couldn't come to terms. And if I'm Hachimura, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I go from the Wiz to the Lakers?
He wanted to go. They said it was down to 3 teams, the Suns, the Pacers, and the Lakers. And the Lakers were, his first team that he wanted to go to?
Well, I mean, the Suns aren't having a great year. And we know the Lakers are the Lakers. And if he can get a big deal and live in L.A., I'm not sure what his priorities are. But, RJ, what is the feeling about the Lakers? Is there some type of undercurrent that if we make one more trade, we got a run in us as long as AD's back? What do they even believe of themselves right now?
I think that now with the Hachimura trade, I feel that there would be belief inside the Lakers fandom that you are another shooter away, possibly a wing shooter. You hear names like Gary Trent. You're also hearing names like Bogdanovich in Detroit, which the Lakers felt that giving up, a couple of first-round picks or 3 second-round picks were too much of an asking price to give up to get Bogdanovich. But that's the feeling right now. If you feel like you can make a run in the play-in and then just let the chips fall where they may. The Lakers focusing on next season, though, I don't know who you're going to get. I mean, this has always been my argument. The Lakers throughout their history have gambled. They gambled in 96. You end up getting Shaq and Kobe. You gambled in 08. That was Pau Gasol. But who's that guy in the NBA today where you say, we're going to take a gamble on him and it's going to work? You gambled in 2020. You got Anthony Davis. You mortgaged your whole future. It worked. You won a bubble championship, as John likes to say. But, I mean, you gambled and it worked out. Who's that guy now? And you throw out DeMar DeRozan. Great. Zach LaVine, that's very special. Kyrie Irving, I think Brooklyn's going to pay him. Now it's Draymond Green because he has a love fest for LeBron James. I don't know who you're going to gamble on to where you're saying we're going to give up two first-round picks. I say we as if I play for the team. But I don't know who that guy is. So hey, if you can get a wing shooter.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I think you make the play-in, but I don't know how deep you're going to get in the playoffs.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear you guys. I'm going to have to disconnect real quick. You guys talk for a second, and then I'm going to reconnect because you guys are breaking up at it.
You all heard that. It was clear as day to us, but John can't hear us, so he will return or not. I'm not sure what his plans are. Are you back, John?
Yeah. Well, let's see. I can hear you. It's RJ that's really breaking up. Okay. Enough Laker talk. They suck, so we know that.
Well, there it is.
How about the Bengals moving from a 1.5 starting as a 2.5-point underdog to now being -1.5 against the Chiefs right now?
Well, isn't that about Pat Mahomes and his health?
And maybe it's, you know, the sharp money. The sharp money was on the Bengals in Buffalo, and maybe the sharp money is on the Bengals in Kansas City as well.
I didn't hear any of the talk afterwards from Wild Card Weekend, but felt like it should have been a little bit of a clue. Now the Bengals didn't have a great time with the Ravens without their starting quarterback. But when you're down to the third string Skylar Thompson, and you're fighting tooth and nail to get out of a game against the Dolphins, maybe Buffalo isn't as good as we thought, and it kind of showed up on Sunday. And I think, like I said, that Bengals uniform and what people believe the Bengals to be should now be done. What they've done over the last two postseasons should make anyone think that going into Kansas City with a hampered Pat Mahomes, Bengals should be the favorite. Until Pat Mahomes can prove, now we'll see very early what he is. But if he's hampered and he can't do all that second reaction stuff where the first couple reads aren't open, he buys time and he's limited in that. Why would the Chiefs be favored?
Right. No, absolutely. And, yeah, we've seen them head-to-head. And Cincinnati has been, you know, has had their number. And listen, if it's snowing there, if that field is slippery, how much more does that ankle play in for Pat Mahomes? How much more does the high ankle sprain worry you if there is snow? And it's supposed to be down to 24 is the high, 8 is the low on Sunday. So there's a good chance that they have any precipitation. It is going to be snow. It is going to be slippery. And I don't know. Is he better off in the snow with the high ankle sprain or not?
It might slow down the Bengals pass rush. That's what some people attribute it to, what happened to the Bills with the Bengals having a banged up offensive line, not being able to be so sure of their footing hurt that Bills pass rush. I would say maybe some of their investments haven't worked out that well, and the Von Miller thing. Whether it played a big part, him being absent, or Leslie Frazier just not calling a good game, the Bills' defense did not show to be what people consider them to be a top five defense throughout the year. They kind of were manhandled. The fact that the Bengals were able to run the football against them is a bigger thing, and that's what leads me to think maybe Kansas City takes that same approach against the Bengals, that, hey, we got a hampered quarterback, but we have a healthy offensive line, a line we've put a lot of money into and draft picks into. Maybe some of that stretch run stuff they like to do goes out the window, and it's just straight power football. We're going to get under center. We're going to have to run the ball a little bit more straight up because of our quarterback's inability to move. I mean, he might come out and be 80% of himself, and that'll be just fine. But the way he looked at the end of the game, even when he threw that final touchdown, he threw it off on one foot and he had to limp to the sideline. I don't know how much better you get in a week, and you add the unsure footing. I think we might see the Chiefs change the way they play just because he can't get to spots with those stretch runs they like to do.
No, I'm telling you, this is scary for Kansas City fans, especially the way you watched them, the Bengals, go in there and in the snow and just dominate. You saw, and you've lost to them the last three times you played them. You can't, even though it is in Kansas City, you can't feel good about this.
No, you've blown leads, you've lost close games, and the Bengals have this unique thing. Even outside of Joe Burrow and his ability, they have these big receivers who can also create space. They're not these slow plotters, but you have guys that Joe Burrow can put the ball in any vicinity to, and they're going to make plays. They're physical. that it's a unique skill set. You look at some of the pass catchers around the league, you want to call whatever you want to call the best units in the league, whether it be Ayuk and Kittle and Debo in San Francisco, or throwing Waddle and Hill, small, fast guys. I don't know if you have the combination of size and speed at the wide receiver position that you do in Cincinnati anywhere else. It's just very unique, and you can't play up on them because they'll run by you, and if you get physical with them, they'll beat you up and get open. So it's going to be a tough task for those Chiefs wide receivers. I mean, excuse me, that Chiefs secondary. And if they can't get any pressure on Burrow and he's able to slide around and buy time, it's going to be rough. And then they're going to need Pat Mahomes to keep up the pace. And if he's not even 75%, the Bengals should be favored, and maybe they win that game by a touchdown. We'll see how it plays out.
Chad
Henne did lead a 98-yard drive, which is embarrassing for the Jags. They let that happen.
Which is embarrassing for Pat Mahomes. He don't want that heat coming down.
I know we're not creating a Mahomes-Henne controversy.
That's why he was pissed. He was pissed that they pulled him from the game, because now, look, everybody thinks that Chad Henne's the guy. And quickly before we go, Brian T. Smith, he agrees with me. Would you rather be the Cowboys or the Texans? And he said, you'd rather have the number 2 and 12 overall pick than be stuck with Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Jerry Jones.
Well, that's only if you believe the Texans, run by Cal McNair, are going to get it right.
Well,
you can hope and pray, but what's the evidence that any franchise led by him is going to get anything right?
Well, here's the question is, I don't know that they can screw up the head coaching job this year.
We'll see.
I mean, even if it's Jonathan Gannon, is that a huge screw up? If it's D'Amico Ryans, is that a huge screw up?
Well, look, the Broncos picked Nathaniel Hackett, and no one thought that was a screw up until it was a screw up.
Right.
So you never know. And if we're taking bets, the Texans will probably screw it up.
Yeah. I think if you get a solid defensive guy, this could be like a Robert Saleh. There's a lot of similarity to D'Amico and Robert Saleh.
They interviewed
Gannon. I think this is all just a ruse, because they love John. They wanted Jonathan Gannon last year. They couldn't hire him because of Brian Flores. And so this is the year we're going to do all of this stuff. Make sure we got all of our, we're good with Rooney Rule. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're all good. Okay. Here comes Jonathan Gannon.
Well, they're interviewing Mike Kafka at some point this week. So that's their first second interview. So if you want to hire another bald offensive coordinator type, who had some affiliation with the Patriots because he played there, he's your guy. We'll see how that plays out. But he was under Daboll, so that should make people feel better, right?
He's not on the Belichick tree.
Yeah, he played there, but he never coached there.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe that's why. Because, oh, my gosh, if that's it because
Nick Caserio knew him, he has a relationship with him.
Oh, my gosh, if that's the reason. This franchise will never learn.
I'm not saying they'll hire him, John. I'm just saying he's a first with a second interview.
I know, but it just is typical. Just typical. I don't know. Maybe they're just making a show because Gannon's busy. Hopefully, Gannon won't be busy after this week, and you can.
Wait, I thought you wanted D'Amico. Who do you want?
I don't know. Jonathan Gannon may be very good. I don't know. I don't know. I want an offensive guy. I'd rather have Shane Steichen, if you want to know the truth. That's what I'd rather have. I want an offensive guy. I know what the offensive guy brings. I know. I see it. I don't know who D'Amico is going to be able to get. And when he does get somebody, and if he's any good, that guy's out of here because he's going to get a head coaching job somewhere. So, to me, all the good teams right now have offensive minds. All of the good teams except the Bills. If the final eight were all offensive minds except the Bills. So,
well, Mike McCarthy, so great.
Well,
great.
At least,
great.
Well, he is an offensive guy.
Is he? At this point, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
He looked very offensive against D'Amico's team, by the way. Against D'Amico's side of the ball, he looked great.
Now you're being offensive. Now it's time to talk about my people. When we come back, okay, I'm going to be off next week. On February 6th and 7th, when I come back, right after the AFC, NFC. Well, actually, it's the week after. It's the week of the Super Bowl, the 6th and 7th. We're going to be at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. It is fantastic. People, you have got Las Vegas. You've got a Las Vegas casino right here. And not, you know what, and listen, the other ones in Lake Charles ain't the Nugget. I'm telling you here and now. I love the poker room. I love the DraftKings Sportsbook. It's unbelievable. 3,200 square feet of LED screens, live blackjack. You can play blackjack while you're watching all your games. When you see this, it's unbelievable. The food is great. Everything about it, premium bar and grill. It's the largest sportsbook, 12,000 square feet. They've got everything in the resort. I love the golf course. Actually, I'm going to be playing the golf course the 6th and 7th in a tournament while we're there. We got 1,100 rooms to choose. It's brand new. They got 12 restaurants, the Blue Martini. You've got all kinds of shows coming up. Marlon Wayans, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Tracy Lawrence, Casey Donahue, Three Dog Night, Sammy Kershaw. Look, you're looking for Las Vegas right here? It's 2 hours away down the road. You don't have to fly all the way to Vegas, do all the check-in, everything. By the time you get there, by the time you get back, all of the stuff that you have to spend on, 2 hours down the road. Lake Charles, the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Find out for yourself. Make your reservations now, because for the Super Bowl, it is going to be packed. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Dell, let me ask you a question. Are you on Facebook and Instagram?
I have both, but I rarely use them.
Will you use them more if you're allowed to see bare breasts? Apparently, Meta's advisory board says policy impedes right to expression for women and trans and non-binary people if you are not allowed to bare your breasts on Facebook and Instagram.
No, I'm not looking for amateurs to bare their breasts on Facebook. I'm looking for the professionals. No. I'm not looking for that because the people who use Facebook, I'm not looking to see them naked.
Yeah. Well, there might be some good-looking women.
Well, the women who are willing to do that on Facebook, I'm not looking to see them naked.
Well, okay. It appears Michael Bay's got some problems. Apparently, he's been charged with killing a pigeon in Italy. He denies the allegations. Do you think Michael Bay, the director, is capable of killing pigeons?
I think anyone's capable of killing a pigeon, John. Did he run it over? Do we know if he shot the pigeon? What's the crime here?
I think in a movie, it might have been an accident, but he totally denies it.
Well, if it's an accident, it's an accident. Who's fighting for pigeon rights? Is that what your country does?
Italy is.
Fights
Italy,
for pigeon rights?
Is going to defend, finally, a country that will defend the pigeon.
Yeah, but
because the pigeon apparently has no rights elsewhere.
Meanwhile,
thank God for Italy.
That same country allowed a quadruple homicide on a yacht to happen, and then the woman accidentally killed herself, and nobody was charged with crime.
That was a show. It's called White Lotus. That's a show.
Wasn't Michael Bay just making a movie?
Well, iPhone app. There's a new iPhone app, Dell, that will let you talk to Hitler and Jeffrey Epstein beyond the grave. Do you want an app that will let you chat with versions of historical figures?
Well, now that you open it up to others, sure, but I'm not sure I'm looking to discuss anything with those two gentlemen. But if, I don't know, I'm trying to think, would I want to talk to Attila the Hun or Pontius Pilate? Maybe. Hey, man. Feel a little bad about your decision?
Yeah.
Maybe you put the wrong guy up there. Maybe I'd ask him some questions. That's all.
Do you feel good about Donald Trump winning the club tournament at his club despite the fact that he missed the first round? Well, he's claiming he's the champ.
Well, but I mean, it feels like that's another final ballot that he's fighting again for some reason.
Yeah.
He's trying to change another final outcome. Is that what he's doing?
Well, apparently he Yeah, apparently he didn't play in the first round, but he says
how do you
won.
John, you love golf. How do you win a golf tournament if you don't play in the first round?
I don't.
You own the golf tournament?
I just don't know. I just don't know how that works like that. Pete Davidson said he's removing his tattoos dedicated to Kim Kardashian. Do you feel like he should keep them forever, or do you feel like, well, that probably wasn't going to ever work out?
Well, it's the second one. There are things where people do things I just don't get. Like, even if you, I'm a cynic, but even if you look at the past history of both of them, wouldn't he just assume he was going to have to remove them at some point if he ever got them?
Both of them.
Wouldn't you just assume that you were never going, those never going to be meaningful past a certain point in time?
Yeah. Apparently, the transgender community is none too pleased with Aretha Franklin. Her song, A Natural Woman, is not up to snuff with the trans community.
Which, the entire trans community or some person? What do you mean? Because that song's been around a long time.
Yeah. It perpetuates multiple harmful anti-trans stereotypes.
Well,
it is the Transcultural Mindfulness Alliance, the TCMA.
Look, I rarely say this about groups who have been the target of unnecessary and unwanted discrimination, but they're going to have to take the L on this one. Just hold that L. Stop.
Hold that L up.
Hold that L. This one, you take the L. I'm generally going to be on your side, but for this one, a song written in 1968 for a woman who's... by a woman who's now dead? Sorry, you're going to have to hold that L. Leave that song alone.
Dale, a study says retiring early could be harmful to your health. Do you think that you're harmful to your health right now in your semi-retirement?
I didn't retire. It's like when coaches say, we agreed to part ways. No, that's not what happened.
No.
That's not what happened. We didn't agree to part ways. It just something happened, and now you're gone.
That's it. Well, we'll see if Dell's back tomorrow. We'll have to find out from T.A. Lance whether or not he's going to be back. Hopefully we find out before you set your alarm. That'll happen. Thanks for coming in, Dell. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope I'm back in studio tomorrow. We will talk to you then. Either way, have a great day, everybody.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.